Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Here's a great song. I think Pastor found this one, didn't you?
Yes.
And it's about women for Mother's Day, not fishing. So please join us in our call to worship, God of the Women, found in your bulletin.
Again. And again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and all the women out there that play some nurturing or caring role in the life of another. We certainly know there are many different ways to be mothers, and certainly many of us are called to help people in all kinds of different ways. A quick note, after the announcements here, we will not be going into that next hymn. That will actually be used after the sermon. We were all kind of just a little bit out of it this week, so we gave Mary the wrong information, so that's on us. But we will be singing For All the Faithful Women after the sermon in place of the hymn that's there, and that'll be lovely. A couple other announcements. First, I wanted to say thank you to Randy Toffland, who covered for me last week when I was at the Synod Assembly, and definitely I heard good things about his message, and so... I'm very grateful that we have some of these folks in our congregation, like Randy and George and Val, who will often fill in for the pastor when they're out and about. It certainly makes things a lot easier in terms of finding replacements. And it's always just a good sense, you know, now as we're heading toward Pentecost and learning about the early church and the gifts of the Spirit, to lift up some of the many gifts of the Spirit that are right here in our midst. I think a couple other announcements. Because of the funeral for Ron Haas last week, jelly making is moved to tomorrow. So if you had planned to go to that, that is on deck for tomorrow morning as all of our faithful women and others help make all the jams and jellies to be sold and for fundraising purposes. Looks like there's also a stewardship committee meeting. I'm not sure if they're rearranging that at all. I know Centennial Committee, I think, is also might try to find a time to meet as the jelly is cooling or something, I guess, tomorrow. So we'll see how that all gets squeezed in there, but I'm sure we'll kind of play it a little by ear. And then, of course, choir is back up, and I know Sheila would be happy to have if anybody else has just really been itching or on the fence to join choir. We got some good hymns coming up, so. Let's see what else is there briefly. Continuing to our little mini fundraisers for the centennial, the little butterflies that are decorating, and for the next drawing coming up this month. So please keep an eye on that as we head out into the fellowship hall. And VBS, man, that'll be coming up before we know it, I'm sure. So keep that in mind for any young folks in your life that might be interested in that. Is there anything else we need to announce? Yes, Lee. Okay. It's a great way to enjoy the natural world. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. You sure there's not going to be another snowstorm, Lee?
Yeah, I'm not here.
Okay, it is Minnesota. You never know. Yeah, all right. Yeah, definitely that's another great gift to offer is to help out both some of those that help out with the garden and those that help out with lawn mowing. And I know we had talked about, I think, last fall, if there were anybody, people interested in maybe doing it, some sort of a church vegetable garden, just bend my ear, and we'll see. I know we talked about expanding my garden a little bit so we could get the rototiller and just start tearing up whole chunks of the lawn, right? It'd be less to mow. So, we'll see how it goes. But anyway, all right. Well, if there's nothing else at this time, we will go into our Thanksgiving for baptism. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, O living one, for you have created all, and you water your earth abundantly. Oceans and aquifers praise you. Rivers and streams bless you. We remember all those bodies of water that people are out on today as fishing season begins, while others are showing appreciation to their mothers. But we certainly remember Mille Lacs and Mississippi, Sugar Lake and Snake River, and all the hundreds of lakes and ponds and streams in our area. All life is sustained by you, our source, O God. We praise you for Christ, the firstborn from the dead, who frees us from sin and raises us up to new life. Here at this font, we touch the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing through the city of God. Here death is washed away forever. Here we are grafted into the tree of life with leaves for the healing of the world. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this assembly, into this community, and throughout all creation. Cleanse us from our fears and drown our divisions. Grant that all may drink of your mercy and peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. God of all, you opened your gates wide to receive your children into the heavenly kingdom. Help us to be vehicles of promise and proclamation for all who will listen, so that every soul might live in your grace. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our first and main reading this morning is from the book of Acts, the 13th and 14th chapters. Glory to you, O Lord. The reading begins. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Menean, a member of the court of Herod the ruler, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. In Lystra there was a man sitting who could not use his feet and had never walked, for he had been crippled from birth. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul, looking at him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And the man sprang up and began to walk. When the crowds saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates. He and the crowds wanted to offer sacrifice. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We are mortals just like you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all nations to follow their own ways, yet he has not left himself without a witness in doing good, giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, and filling you with food and your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they scarcely restrain the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. The word of the Lord. Let us please rise for our gospel response. And our gospel verses this morning are from the Gospel of Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. See, now this was the reading that I should have had Randy preach on last week. And like I said, I heard he did a good job, and I'm glad things worked out the way they did, but this passage is the perfect one to preach when the main preacher is gone, because it's all about making the point that your pastor is not God, right? You shouldn't confuse that too. And if it was just Randy up here preaching, he really could have hammered that home, and I could have gotten back here, and I could have, you kind of all could have been giving me the squinty eye a little bit, like making sure to take me down a few pegs. It would have worked out really well. But I am glad to preach on it because, first of all, it's just really a funny story. You know, these kind of early days of the church, you know, Randy kind of got to kick it off a little bit last week, this book of Acts, as there are these new these followers of Jesus, and they're getting sent out, and they're not quite sure the kind of world they're meeting, or maybe they know the world they're meeting, and there's a little bit of tension because of that. Last week, of course, was the story of the Roman soldier that seemed to know a lot more about faith than the people this week, but because he was Roman, right, this is this tension between the Jewish population and the Romans, who had been at odds for many years and had many other thoughts and feelings that were probably a lot of them not so kind about one another. and how we might think about that in our own world, and the kinds of bonds we are called to share with people that we may have disagreements with, or just don't understand each other very well. But in this week, Paul, or Saul, as he was, of course, first known, and Barnabas have been sent out as new missionaries. There was a laying on of hands, a commissioning. We know, too, Paul having a bit of a complicated background as well. But here they are sent out from Antioch, which is sort of north of Israel. It's kind of on the near the modern-day border of Syria Turkey, sort of north along the coast. And they're sent out further west. Well, I suppose it'd be the other way around, west into Turkey, into the sort of the central of what would be today the country of Turkey, into this town of Lystra. And it seems like they're doing good, right? They come out there, they barely step foot in town. Paul sees a guy who hasn't been able to walk since his birth, and just with a word, the power of God flows through him, and this man is able to walk and stand up. And people are just blown away. You know, everything is going well. You know, everybody seems to be amazed by what they're doing, but Paul and Barnabas maybe don't understand the language, and they're missing kind of the larger context of what's going on. And you can imagine them kind of sitting around and kind of when you're in that new job and things are going well, or you're in a new relationship and they're brainstorming, they're going crazy about, oh gosh, and over on that hill, I bet we could put the new church, we could get that guy that I healed, and we could get some of our friends from Jerusalem up, and oh man, all these plans, you can just imagine them flowing around in their head. And then they bump into some guy maybe at lunch, and they can see them wide-eyed, and the person's like, well, I just wanted to say thank you to you guys for coming. We're just humbled and honored you're here. And Paul and Barnabas are thinking, yeah, you're right. We're happy to be servants to bring this power of God to you. And the person's like, yeah, it's just amazing for us to see gods in the flesh. And then Paul and Barnabas were like, wait, what? No, gods? You said gods? Yeah, you're Zeus in the flesh, and you're Hermes, right? The messenger of the gods. And Paul and Barnabas are just going, whoa, wait a second. Something went wrong here. Something went a little wrong. We got through to them, but they didn't quite, but not all the way. And now there's this issue. They think that we are gods, and that's not good, right? They can see off in the distance, right? Like the people with the posters. They can see the people with like the sacrificial animals coming down and the garlands of flowers. And they're like, oh no, we made a mistake. Something went wrong. The missionary message got a little lost on our first time out. And they need to sort of like fix everything very, very quickly. They are quickly distressed. The high has quickly crashed into the low as they've started something new, as so often happens with us when we try to start something new. Sometimes we can feel like everything's going smoothly, and then pretty quickly there's a pretty big speed bump. And that does sort of happen in this case. There is this mistaken thing that these conduits of God's power to heal and to preach have been mistaken for gods themselves. And, it's not the worst of problems, right? We know in the early church, in fact, a little bit later on in this story, there's the issue of certainly in Paul's life, of being arrested. There's issues with stoning. And so having people think you're gods is maybe not the worst of things that could go wrong, but certainly something they want to clear up right away. Because there are a lot of different kinds of sins, and one of the sneakiest is often this issue, this sin of idolatry. And I think it's maybe even sneakier now, or a little bit trickier now, in our modern-day society than it was back then. Because when we think of idolatry, right, we don't have like the literal sense of idolatry, right? Like little idols, like carved idols, or we don't have temples to all the various Greek gods so much anymore. We don't worry that when people come to our worship service that we're literally going to worship a golden calf. It's not a big concern, but yet we know in the larger sense of idolatry, of worshiping things as God, which are not God, that is something we still struggle with. And not all of those things are going to be bad. This is one of those sins it's not like, the sins of stealing. It's not like the sins of murder where,
you know, if you're stabbing something, there's some other signs that you're doing something wrong, right? You know, there's some guilt that should be coming up in you. There's some clearer things that should trigger you to know that this is a bad thing to be doing. But with idolatry, with worshiping things as God, which are not God, the trick is that sometimes it's really good things that we try to lift up in God's place, right? We try to lift up the love of a community. We try to lift up the love of our friends. We try to lift up the love of country or of tradition or of culture. We lift up the love of our families. We lift up the love of our mothers. And if we're not careful, we can put that above God, or at least at an equal position with God. You know, all these blessings that God gives us, we can confuse for God himself, or at least to kind of mix and muddle them in our heads a little bit. You know, we have to remember that there is this distinction and there is this priority in our lives between some of the things we care about even the most and God. Because sometimes we are called to do difficult things in the service of God. You know, there are some of these passages in the Gospels, right, that we might remember of when Jesus tells us, you know, that we can't put family above God, you know, that we have to learn to hate our brothers and sisters. And it's not that God is saying that we need to actually hate our brothers and sisters, but we can't let that love for one specific group of people overrule the love we are supposed to have for our world as a whole. And that's a really, really hard lesson for us, because we depend on our families, we depend on our friends, we depend on our communities. You know, they provide so much joy in our lives, it provides so much safety and comfort in our lives. And it is a difficult thing, this sin of idolatry, to start confusing things with our relationship with God. And that can even happen sometimes with our leaders, right? With the people that we put a lot of trust in, people that often offer us a lot of hope, that offer us, you know, politicians are always offering promises of one kind or another. Sometimes pastors are offering promises of one kind or another. And it can be so easy to kind of get sucked in by that, and to exalt them a little higher and to remove any sense of skepticism that is healthy, to wash away sort of checks and balances. And it's important to have those in place. We know that, unfortunately, the church often, or has been on a number of occasions in the past, a place where people do get hurt as much as they get healed. You know, and we're trying to make ourselves ever better, but we need to make sure that we have safeguards in place. We need to make sure we have ways to, you know, as much as you always assume that everything I'm doing is perfect, I know that's the case. That's a joke. You can laugh. It's fine. I don't actually think that, right? that you do need to make sure to have, you know, that's why we have church councils. That's why we have, you know, have the personnel committee to just read me the business, and our mutual ministry to sort of be my eyes and ears, you know, if there are things that I'm missing out there in the church. Because at the end of the day, our leaders, religious, political, our friends, our family, we're human beings. We make mistakes. We fall short. And one of the dangers with idolatry, when we start to confuse God and worldly and human and man-made kinds of things with God, is that when those people fail us, as we will tend to do, as we usually will do at some point or another, that then we confuse that with God, that God has failed us, that that is some weakness of God. And we know that that just isn't the case, because human beings will make mistakes. We know, as Luther was famous for saying, that we are all saints and sinners. But we know we do have a God, a living God, who walks beside us, that when we fall short, when we do not live up to the hope and the trust that you maybe have placed within us or with other things in our world, that our trust in God is never betrayed. Our hope in God is never lost. You know, we have this living, loving God who works in our imperfect world to help us renew and restore ourselves, and to forgive us and to keep us going when all the human false gods fail us. You know, and of course, one of the most common false gods that we tend to lift up is ourselves too, as much as in any leaders, right? We lift things about ourselves up as God, our own, you know, our own sense of self-righteousness, our own sense of surety about the world, and our surety about our faith, and our needs and our desires. Sometimes we lift that up as God as well. And as we know, sometimes we fall short within ourselves as well too. But where we fall short, God is there to sort of pick up the pieces. And so that's why we have to keep these things as clear as we can, so that we don't confuse the two. So no, you don't need no statue of me. I was expecting that when I came back after a week away. There'd be out in the garden next to the, what's the name of the angel?
Jerio.
There'd be a Pastor James statue. Like St. Francis, right, with, but no, that's not necessary. I'm sure it would have looked very nice. Val does a good job out there, but I am a human being. If I haven't disappointed you yet, it's probably coming soon. but hopefully when it does, I will do my best to seek forgiveness, to own up to my mistakes, to make amends. And hopefully whatever bonds we have formed, they're enough to see us through. And hopefully our bonds are not just to one another, but to God. And that shared bond to God, which is always much more secure than our bonds to one another, can help reform whatever bonds start to break or to be strained to one another. Because our living God, as Paul and as Barnabas tried to remember those people, our God is a living God, active in our world, working in us and through us, forgiving us, restoring us. And where there is pain and death, where there is sins against one another, where we fall short, God will rebuild. God will bring new life. Amen.
Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting God's promise of new life, we pray for the renewal of the church, the world, and all of creation. Shine your light through this and every congregation. Reveal to us the light of your salvation in places of hopelessness and decay. Anoint us and make us overflow with goodness and mercy. Hear us, O God. Mercy is great. We give thanks for gentle rains that nourish green pastures and rejuvenate rivers and streams. Provide clean water for thirsty people, animals, and crops. Heal places suffering destruction caused by floods, typhoons, storms, and mudslides. Hear us, O God. Mercy is great. Empower authorities to be faithful shepherds who lead nations in pathways of righteousness and peace. Disrupt and deter the work of terrorists, religious and political extremists, and all who would choose the way of violence over the way of mercy. Hear us, O God. Mercy is great. Give strength and perseverance to those facing struggles of hunger or thirst, unemployment or homelessness, chronic illness or anxiety. Be our never-failing voice of comfort through all the trials of this life. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Raise up faithful women who, as witnesses to your strength and compassion, bless mothers and all who offer mothering care. Protect victims of sexism, abuse, and gender-based violence. Restore dignity to those marginalized because of their gender identity or sexual orientation. Hear us, O God. Mercy is great. Good and gracious God, we lift up various prayers of this community this morning. We certainly remember in prayer those who need your continued help and presence. We especially remember Anna and Jerry and Judy Wozni and Judy Wario. Remember in prayer Marilyn Eklund. We remember in prayer the Haas family as they mourn Ron's passing and Ted. And all those traveling today, whether for fishing or to visit their mothers, that they may have a wonderful time of relaxation and recreation and fellowship with one another and may return home safely. And now, O God, we lift up all those other prayers that are on our hearts or in our minds, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. Salvation belongs to you, O God. You promise to wipe away every tear. Give us the assurance that all who live and die in you will rest forever beside the river of life. Hear us, O God. Mercy is great. We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help for the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Let's pass the peace. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace with one another. Let us pray. Risen One, as you broke bread with the disciples on the shore, meet us now in this meal. Nourish us to follow you, using our gifts to feed the hungry and tend the weary, and all for your love's sake. Amen. Holy, living, and loving God, we praise you for creating the heavens and the earth. We bless you for bringing Noah and his family safely through the waters of the flood, for freeing your people Israel from the bonds of slavery, and for sending your Son to be our Redeemer. We give you thanks for Jesus, who, living among us, healed the sick, fed the hungry, and with a love stronger than death, gave his life for others. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life-giving death and glorious resurrection, we await your promised life for all this dying world. Breathe your Spirit on us and on this bread and cup. Carry us in your arms from death to life, that we may live as your chosen ones, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Now let us say together the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, gives everyone a place at the welcome table. Alleluia. Come to the feast. All are welcome. And for those that may be guests with us, we do commune by intinction, so you will come forward, you receive the wafer, and you can dip it into either the wine or the grape juice.